Welcome to our 10th study in the book of Job. We come today to Job chapter 18, verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we are about to read in Jesus' name. Amen. Job 18, verse 1. Then Bildad the Shuhite answered and said, "How long till you put an end to words? Gain understanding, and afterward we will speak." It is hard to get through to someone who is always talking. They don't hear, they don't listen, and they don't learn. And you start to wonder why they even want you around. And that's what Bildad is wondering. Why am I around? Job, you just keep talking. Verse 3. Why are we counted as beasts and regarded as stupid in your sight? Why do you think we're idiots, Job? Well, I can tell you one reason. It's because they talk like idiots. Foolish words come out of foolish people. 4. You who tear yourself in anger, shall the earth be forsaken for you? Or shall the rock be removed from its place? Job, you are ranting and raving. What? Are you trying to convince God? Trying to convince God to make the world revolve around you or something? 5. The light of the wicked indeed goes out, and the flame of his fire does not shine. In other words, a black fire awaits the wicked. You know, in spite of being in a place of flames, Jesus also calls hell a place of darkness. How can that be? I don't know. 6. The light is dark in his tent, and his lamp beside him is put out. When the lights go out unexpectedly, there is trouble somewhere. You know that. And the lights will go out on the wicked, which means unexpected trouble is on the way to them. 7. The steps of his strength are shortened, and his own counsel cast him down. The strength of the wicked will falter. They will not be able to do their wicked deeds forever. Verse 8. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walks into a snare. The wicked make trouble for themselves. Verse 9. The net takes him by the heel, and a snare lays hold of him. A noose is hidden for him on the ground, and a trap for him in the road. There is truth in the statement that the wicked will fall into the trap that they themselves set with their sin. No doubt about it. Verse 11. Terrors frighten him on every side and drive him to his feet. Unsafe people cannot get away from that uneasy feeling of not knowing what awaits them, especially in eternity. And so terrors do frighten them on every side. 12. His strength is starved, and destruction is ready at his side. Trouble is waiting to pounce on an evil person. They really are just a heartbeat away from hell. 13. It devours patches of his skin. The firstborn of death devours his limbs. The firstborn of death refers to the worst disease possible. Whatever Job was suffering from was the worst thing possible. 14. He is uprooted from the shelter of his tent, and they parade him before the king of terrors. Once death grabs a person and starts dragging them away, nothing that evil person has lived for or put their trust in will be able to reverse it. 15. They dwell in his tent who are none of his. Brimstone is scattered on his dwelling. According to Scripture, the Christ rejecters of the world will be thrown into hell. Following that, everything in this world, including all the things they lived for, will just go up in smoke, melt, actually, in what appears to be a gigantic nuclear explosion. 16. His roots are dried out below, and his branch withers above. The memory of him perishes from the earth, and he has no name among the renowned. The wicked will be blotted out. That is, they will be judged and condemned. 18. He is driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. Wicked people are chased out of this world. That's because they do not have peace about leaving it. Verse 19. He has neither son nor posterity among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. Those in the west are astonished at his day, as those in the east are frightened. In other words, Job, you haven't been as good as you should be. That's why all your children are dead. Well, I'll tell you what, Satan is using Bildad's mouth to pour salt on poor Job's wounds. 21. Surely, such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him who does not know God. Yep, Job, you are perverse, and you are anti-God, and that's why you are suffering so badly, Job. Let's go to chapter 19. Then Job answered and said, and that really was one of Job's problems. He kept answering those who were falsely accusing him. He should have just shut his trap, because he was just making matters worse for himself. 2. How long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? Words penetrate right down into a person's soul. Right words can help, wrong words can destroy. 3. These 10 times you have reproached me. You are not ashamed that you have wronged me. And you know, if Job would have just remained quiet and trusted that God was in control, his friends probably wouldn't have gone after him 10 times, as he says. 4. And if indeed I have erred, my error remains with me. If Job sinned, if he sinned as his friends suggest, it did not involve his friends, so it wasn't any of their business. 5. If indeed you exalt yourselves against me and plead my disgrace against me, know then that God has wronged me and has surrounded me with his net. In other words, God, who is normally just, has perverted justice in my case. Job is putting the blame for his problems directly on God. He needs to watch his mouth. 7. If I cry out concerning wrong, I am not heard. If I cry aloud, there is no justice. There's only one thing worse than being treated badly. That's being treated badly and knowing that no one cares. 8. He has fenced up my way so that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness in my paths. There are times when circumstances are not good, and there is nothing you can do about it either. Job certainly was in that situation. 9. He has stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. Everything that brought respect to Job in the past is now gone. 10. He breaks me down on every side, and I am gone. My hope he has uprooted like a tree. Job isn't just losing hope. His hope, as he says, has been uprooted and thrown away forever. There just isn't any. Not in this life, anyway. Verse 11, he has also kindled his wrath against me, and he counts me as one of his enemies. Job thinks God is angry with him, and he is dwelling on it to the point where he is frustrated with God and really was all for nothing because it simply isn't true. God was not angry at him. But he's run with this idea in his mind. Verse 12, his troops come together and build up their road against me. They encamp all around my tent. In other words, God has launched a major attack against me. He is hitting me from every side. 13, he has removed my brothers far from me, and my acquaintances are completely estranged from me. Whatever family Job had left didn't want anything to do with them. 14, my relatives have failed, and my close friends have forgotten me. My relatives and friends all avoid me, says Job. 15, those who dwell in my house and my maidservants count me as a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. A bitter experience is much worse when those you thought cared about you are not there for you when you need them. 16, I call my servant, but he gives no answer. I beg him with my mouth. Even those who were hired to help Job are ignoring him. 17, my breath is offensive to my wife, and I am repulsive to the children of my own body. The sad fact is that everyone, even those closest to Job, have left him to suffer alone. 18, even young children despise me. I arise, and they speak against me, the miserable little sinners. Of course, they're just doing what they see the adults in Job's life doing to Job. Children learn from the adults around them. Verse 19, all my close friends abhor me, and those whom I love have turned against me. Job is learning that these people, who he thought were his friends when he was wealthy and healthy, were never really his friends at all. 20, my bones cling to my skin and to my flesh, and I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. His body is nothing but a sack of bones, and he is barely alive. 21, have pity on me, have pity on me, O you, my friends, for the hand of God has struck me. If a person is suffering for their foolishness, that's one thing. But when a guy like Job is suffering through no fault of his own, people ought to have some pity on the poor guy. But no one was pitying him. Verse 22, why do you persecute me as God does, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Telling people that they are making you miserable may not change them, but it is sometimes smart to tell them anyway. 23, oh, that my words were written, oh, that they were inscribed in a book. If Job had only known that his words would be written, they were written all right, part of Holy Scripture even. But if he would have known that, maybe he wouldn't have falsely accused God. Verse 24, that they were engraved with a rock, with an iron pen, and lead forever. Job says, even better than on paper, I want a written record of my complaint against God and my three friends, and I want it to be etched in stone. Well, it kind of is, I guess, because it's in Holy Scripture. 25, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. There's a lot that Job doesn't understand, especially about God and his situation here. But Job still believes that God is alive and that he will one day fix things. And it doesn't look good right now, but there is a resurrection coming. and he will be a part of it, and he knows it. 26. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. Job knows his present body is temporary, but he also knows that he will get a new, better model that will last forever. 27. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. If you should say, how shall we persecute him, since the root of the matter is found in me, be afraid of the sword for yourselves, for wrath brings the punishment of the sword, that you may know that there is a judgment. Job is amazed that his friends do not fear the wrath of God. I mean, they are making some very cruel and very false accusations against him, but they don't seem to be worried about that. They ought to be. And God is not very happy with them. We're going to see that before this book is finished. We'll stop right there and pick up our study in chapter 20 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.